Good morning to you. I'm really looking forward to going to the park later. I love the way that Kim sold it. I don't know if you heard what she was saying. She didn't. I don't think she registered what she had said. But she said, "Oh, it's really nice to be here, and then we can extend that by going and sitting on a field." Wow, that sounds fun. It will be more fun than just sitting on a field. It will be really, really good. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to Commission Festival. It's just so good, isn't it, to come into the summer, be church together. I'm also looking forward to this evening. Yay! Yes. If you're like, what's happening this evening? Yeah. So I thought I'd start with a game to kick us off. I'm gonna pick on someone. I'm gonna get Madeline Taylor. Come on up. She genuinely doesn't know this. We're gonna play a game of Would You Rather. Yay! So very simple. You give someone two choices. Would you rather this or that? And they choose which one. It's as you can tell, this is a really highbrow game we're about to play. So a game of Would You Rather. Would you rather a bath of stinging nettles or a bath of needles? Stinging nettles, interesting choice. Would you rather £1 million now or a penny every second? The other one. Penny every second. I think it's meant to be more. I can't remember which way around that one is. This is the most important one. Would you rather England win the Euros tonight, but then not win for another 60 years, or not win the Euros, but win the World Cup next time? It doesn't matter. It's
tonight.
Yeah, that's what you want. Thank you, Madeline. I just thought I'd embarrass you. Apologies. Let's give Madeline a round of applause. Lovely. So a game of Would You Rather. You're choosing different things. Another Would You Rather. Would you rather be happy and poor or unhappy and rich is often a question people get asked in that type of nuanced game. And ironically, people would say, I would rather be happy and poor, but that's not actually what we mostly strive for, is it? We're often going for the unhappy and rich. I'm looking for wealth. I'm looking for anything to make me happy that isn't actually genuine happiness. And so I'll play this little game on a silly front, because in Philippians 2, if you want to get your Bible out, that's where we're going to be this morning. In Philippians 2, Paul has just finished his first chapter of his letter to the Philippian church, and he's talking about having joy even though he's in prison, because the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the story of Jesus, the life of Jesus is good news to him, and that's what brings him joy. So Paul is saying that he would rather have Jesus and be in prison rather than be free and not have Jesus. Isn't that, that's incredible. Incredible that someone would say, I'd rather be in prison and have Jesus than just be a free man walking around and not have Jesus. That's the difference that Jesus makes in his life. And so in Philippians 2, he's now describing what the response is for anyone who says, I would rather have Jesus than not have Jesus. And this is how he starts it. So we're going to read a bit, pause, and then read the rest. So Philippians 2, we're going to start from verse 1. He says this in Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, it's like he's saying, you've said you'd rather Jesus. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, that's to Jesus, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, now having a Jesus kind of mindset, in humility value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other. Paul, in this moment, he is encouraging his readers to think like Jesus, to have a mindset like Jesus. He's saying, well, if you would rather Jesus, then think like Jesus. It's kind of like him asking, would you rather have a Jesus mindset, a Christ mindset, or a self mindset? What do I mean? Well, if we were to compare the two, if we were to look at verse 3 and 4 a little bit, we would see that a human mindset is all about me. It's all about everything that I can get. It's how can I get ahead? What suits me best? That's the message there. Whereas a Christ mindset is different. Christ mindset is about humility. It's the opposite. It's about placing others above yourself. It's about thinking of other people. It's what suits others best. And that's what we see in verse 3 and 4. That's what we see in Jesus. And so if we were to ask the average person in the street this question, would you rather, you might have to explain what we mean, yeah, but would you rather have a Christ mindset? Okay, would you rather the world was to think like Jesus or the world was to just be focused on self? I think that although you might have to word the question differently, most people would think, oh yeah, I would really like our society and our world to have the mindset that would put others first, that would think about other people first. However, just like earlier with the whole rich and poor, would you rather? Yeah, it's actually interesting that although we like the sound of a world that puts other people first and people looking out for the little guy, people not treading on people to get what they want, we know that that's not what society is. We know actually that the world isn't like that. We know deep down that there is something broken and corrupt and distorted. Just like Eilis was saying, there's a distortion in what we see. Like, we really want everyone to be selfless and kind and caring for everybody else. But really, we struggle to see that happen. We struggle to see it play out. Like a simple context of in a business context, the only way to move up the business ladder is to walk over other people rather than care about who we tread on along the way. If you think about the advice that we give, shows how seeped we are in the idea of ourselves. The helpful advice we give people now is you do you. You do you. Right? What makes you happy? Most people, whoever they are, would agree we would love a world where people thought selflessly, while at the same time, we settle for the opposite. Why is that? What that doesn't quite add up. There's a distortion. Well, it's because if we were to just tweak that question a little bit, would you rather journey through life the Jesus way, or would you rather journey through life your way, or the way of self? Would you rather journey through life the human way, the way of self, where you're seeking your own happiness, where you are and becoming a someone, being known? Or would you rather the Jesus way of living, where you remain an unknown, maybe, where you give away everything you have got, where you serve for injustice, even when it's inconvenient for you? I personally, you might be holier than me, I'm going the human way, right? I'm going that way. Right, without hesitation, right? Because deep down, it's not just society that is broken. It's not just society that doesn't get this. We don't get this. Deep down, right, is in you and me. And so Paul has a response for us. Paul has a response for us. In verse 5 to 11, we're going to read that. Paul has a response. And this is sometimes, you know what, poems and songs say it better. So he's written it in the form of a poem. So verses 5 to 11, he's written in the form of a poem because sometimes poems say it better. And he paints a picture for us. Paul is wanting to paint a picture to me and to you to show why Christ's example is better. Right? Whether you are a Christian, whether you are not yet a Christian, I want to use this poem that Paul writes to paint a picture to describe why journeying through life with Jesus way leads to greater flourishing than following ourselves. That's what I want to do for the rest of the morning. So to do that, we're going to read verses 5 to 11. This is Paul describing Jesus' way to flourishing by using the way of Jesus. So verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He's again repeating verse 2 again there. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. We're going to come back again and again to that verse, so do maybe keep that open in front of you just to help you can check in with what I'm saying. But now we've read that, I'm going to do something a bit different. Now we've read that, I want you to listen to this. So I'm going to keep that passage on the screen. So that's what the Bible says about human flourishing, about the way of Jesus, about this is what is good for humanity. And I'm going to read to you, I've tweaked the Bible. Is that okay? I think that's okay. I've tweaked the Bible to say what 21st century Britain might say flourishing looks like. What 21st century Britain would say, oh, this is the way to go. Okay, I've tweaked it just to make a point, all right? This is not from God, just to clarify that one thing, all right? So if I was to read verse 5 to 11, 21st century Britain's way. In your relationship with others, have your own mindset and think about what's best for you and consider equality with anyone else to be used for your own advantage, so that you do not remain a nobody. Strive to be someone in this world rather than remain a nobody. Even though you are found in appearance as a human, outwardly pretend to be humble so people think that you're a nice person. In all you can do, blot out of your mind the thought of death. Even run from it if you can. Therefore, make a name for yourself on social media, in your friendship groups, or in the highest position available in your job. This is through your hard work alone, so that at the name of, insert name, you, right? So at the name of Johnny, everyone will think that you are a good person and seek gratification and praise from anyone in heaven or on earth or on social media or under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that you have made it to the top of the mountain to the glory of you. That is what the story of flourishing in 21st century Britain looks like. And if I'm honest with you, I like the sound of that. I do. We giggle, but we do. We like the sound of that journey. I like the idea that I can reach the top of the mountain, that I can be a someone, that I can gain power, that I can gain influence, that I can gain finances. I like that I can be known by people. I like that I can find my own happiness and I can find my own freedom. I can do that by myself. However, just track with me here. This is the journey of self, okay? This is what the journey of self looks like. You start at the bottom. You start there and you start to journey up the mountain. And then by working hard, you gain status, you gain credibility along the way until you reach the peak. That's your 40s or your 50s. If you are a really impressive person, you might get that in your 20s, and this looks different for everyone, but you get to the top by making a name for yourself. It might be just in your social group. It might be worldwide, but it might just be in a small circle of friends that you've got. Right? You make a name for yourself however it looks. And yet, at the top of the mountain, when you're right at the top, you ask, have I got enough? Am I enough? Have I got enough friends, enough power, enough money, enough influence, enough love, enough respect from my children? Have I achieved it as a parent? Have I achieved it in my work life? Have I achieved what I need to achieve in this life? And human journeying is all about my effort. And so I end up asking, where's the top? Where is it? Where is the top? And we all run from it, but deep down we know that death is the great leveler. That we go from low to high, but ultimately we then go low again. That's the human journey. That is the journey of our lives. If we were to now, let's look again at Philippians 2. And this is what is so beautiful and glorious about the journey of Jesus and the journey of a Christian to flourishing and to freedom through the example of Jesus. Jesus, he flips our journey through his life. Jesus doesn't journey to the top. Actually, we see in verses 5 to 8, he comes low. He goes low. We see in verse 5 and 6, Jesus had enough. Jesus was fully known. Jesus was fully loved. Jesus was in total relationship with the Father and the Spirit. They were one. He had all power. He had all authority. He had all influence that he could possibly have. And what does he do? He lays it aside. He says, no, I'm going to lay that aside. And he doesn't abuse that power as he comes low. He comes low and he doesn't abuse that power. He doesn't take advantage of that power. Just imagine, just for a moment, how good that news is to anybody who has been downtrodden. Imagine the beautiful news that is to anyone who's experienced abuse and been downtrodden by an employer, to anyone who's experienced that by a family member or a spouse. Just imagine that for a moment. That the one with ultimate power, he doesn't abuse it. He uses it to lift up the lowly. We see that in verse 7, how he goes, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Jesus didn't strive to be known. Didn't strive to be seen. All right, the one with power, he doesn't abuse it, but he uses it. He uses his power to bring healing to the sick. He heals someone and then he says, don't go tell anyone. Don't go tell people about this. He's not there to be seen and heard. He's there to put the broken back together. He puts pieces back and makes it look beautiful. And then we think, oh, he couldn't have got lower. He couldn't have got to that bottom bit. Oh, no, he does. He does. In verse 8, he's obedient. I think this word's incredible. Obedient to death on a cross. We would think that serving this life for the lowly and the poor and the needy, that Jesus couldn't have gone lower, but he does. He goes, he plunges to the depths of the point of torturous death. He died the most torturous death available in the Roman world. He plunged to that. And what's crazy, he does it in obedience and with joy. He could not have got lower. He couldn't be seen as lower. He couldn't have done what's lower. He has gone low. But he goes low because that's where he finds humanity. That's where he finds us. That's where we are. And then verse 9, beautiful twist at verse 9. Therefore, yeah, he's gone low. He's gone low. The one with all authority, he's come low. And then he says, therefore, he exalted him to the highest point. He exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name which is above every name. When Christ had gone lowest, Christ was raised highest. This is the new flourishing journey we can find when we choose the way of Jesus. The path of Christ's path to human flourishing, we find it's not about how much power and influence I get, not about how much authority I can get, but how much grace and mercy I can receive to give to others. It's not about searching to be known, but seeing in verse 1 that I am fully known because I am united with Christ. It's no longer climbing up using my hard work, but finding freedom and thankfulness for what he has done. I want to ask you, where have you been climbing and found it wanting? Where have you been climbing and you think you've got to the top and you look out and you go, oh, the view's not that good. The view's not that impressive. You realize, oh, I'm actually just in the valley. I'm just seeing the view of the valley. It might be your parenting. You place all your hope on your child. It might be in your job or with money. It might be faking it until you make it. That you've just been trying to fake it until you make it, pretending that you've got it all together. If I just keep going, it will come good. It might even be that you've tried the Christian life and you've just felt, oh no, I've just moved on to another mountain and you're just climbing another mountain. It will look different for all of us, but the truth is we're all trying to climb. We all want verse 9. If you look at verse 9, we all want verse 9 to not say that. We want it to say, God exalted me to the highest place. That's what we want it to say. No, God exalted Jesus to the highest place. And that is so stunningly beautiful. All right, we find it hard to go low and that someone else takes us up the mountain. That we go up because he goes up. We cannot journey the Jesus way without joining with Jesus. We cannot head up the mountain without coming low. Says this in Matthew 10:39. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. When we say yes to Jesus as our King, we are saying, I want to lose my life. I want to find it. I want to lose it. I want to give it all to Jesus. I want to come low to be raised high. And we need to realize that and be honest in saying, I can't climb the mountain. So we need to realize, I can't climb that. That's why Paul starts with verse 1. Verse 1 is stunning. Verse 1 is so beautiful. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, the Jesus journey leads to flourishing because it's not based on us. It's not based on our performance. It's not based on how hard I work. It's not based on how good a Christian I am. It is based on Jesus. It's based on being in Jesus. It's not based on that I'm going with Jesus, holding his hand, skipping up a mountain. All right? It's not even that I go through, right? No, I'm in Jesus. If we are Christians, we are in Jesus. And so the journey, the Jesus journey leads to flourishing because it's not based on us. We are saying Jesus in that my life, right? Jesus' life is our life. Jesus' death is my death. Jesus' resurrection is my resurrection. And that's all really encouraging, but it also means losing your life. It also means that Jesus' baptism, like we're going to see in a bit, right? Jesus' baptism is my baptism. Jesus' love for the poor is my love for the poor. Jesus' attitude is my attitude. Jesus' heart is my heart. Jesus' rules are my rules. Jesus' tenderness is my tenderness. Jesus' compassion is my compassion. Jesus' mercy is my mercy. Jesus' truth is our truth. That's what it's saying. And this is why the Jesus journey to flourishing is better for us. This is why it's beautiful than journeying ourselves in our own way. Because unlike the pretend freedom that we think we get at the top of the mountain, this is what true freedom looks like. This is where true freedom is found, that it's not on me. It's not on me. Unlike the journey of self, we see the mountaintop. The journey of self, we think we see it, and then we go, oh, it's not, it's distorted. It's not quite as pretty as it was. Oh, it's a bit cloudy up here. However, through choosing the journey of Jesus, we see the top of the mountain. We see it. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place. If you are a Christian, one day we will see the highest place. We will see. Just imagine the view. You know when you come around a bend of a road and then you just see over the coastline or something like that? You know those moments when you're in the car and you come over a brow of a hill and you're like, whoa. One day, whoa. That view's glorious. Jesus was raised to the highest. We are raised to the highest with him, not in our own works. God exalted him to the highest place. We get to see the highest place. We get to see the view. Which view would you rather? To end our morning, four people are going to share their stories. I was thinking, oh, I could have lots of clever stories to try and really show how amazing this life is following Jesus. I'm going to get four other people to do that instead. These four people, they're going to share their stories about why they're choosing to get baptized this morning. They're gonna in doing that, they're gonna be showing better than I could why the Jesus path is better and how they have found true freedom and true flourishing. If we think about it, the physical nature, right, of baptism is really interesting. I think I used the phrase last week, and people have said it to me this week. It's ancient and weird. It is. This has been going on for millenniums, not decades, millenniums. People have been baptized into Jesus. And so that symbol, the symbol of them going down and coming up, is a great picture of Philippians 2. As they go down into the water and as they come up, they are literally physically living out Philippians 2. Right? They go down into Jesus and they come up into Jesus. It's beautiful. And just like in Philippians 2, these four people this morning, they're being obedient. Jesus was baptized. Yeah, Jesus' baptism. Yeah, that's my baptism. And they're going with that. They're choosing the way of Jesus. And so there's three things that would be helpful for you as you watch this morning, as you watch baptisms, as we do them, that might be helpful for you. Three representations of what this is. Number one, it's a bath. If you are friends and family of the people who are getting baptized, you know they are not perfect. You know that they have not got it all together. Right? You know that they are publicly saying, I need a wash. Yeah? I've walked my way and I have found that I've got really grubby. I'm choosing to follow Jesus. I want to be clean. It's a symbol of them being clean. It's also a grave. Number two, it's a grave. Right? They're dying to how they used to live. They say, I don't want to live to myself anymore. Going down into the grave. But it's also a cradle because they are coming up. They're coming up and they're saying, I have new life in Jesus. I've got new life. They're going down to come up. It's the journey of the Christian. And so, just to be clear, right, this isn't them becoming a Christian. That's already happened. They've already said, I want to make Jesus my king. This is them publicly saying that they want to make Jesus their king. They're just telling you that. Right? And in doing that, it's the Spirit's at work. The Holy Spirit's at work in this. And this is them publicly saying that they care about what Jesus cares about, all those things I listed a minute ago. I care about Jesus' heart. I care about what Jesus cares about.